I want to make a shocking announcement this morning. We live in a world that's hell-bent to discard its heritage, history, and identity. Let me repeat that. We live in a world that is hell-bent to discard its heritage, history, and identity. And that's just not the turn of a phrase, by the way. The Britannica Dictionary has a definition for hell-bent. Very determined to do something, especially when the results might be bad. Now, we've all heard that term a lot of times, but I don't think we ever stopped to think about it. Literally, I mean, a literal translation is hellbound. Okay? And oh, by the way, generally when society is hell-bent on doing something, the author of it is from hell. It is Satan himself, and there is a plan. We stand here today on Memorial Day, and Memorial Day is a holiday that was dedicated to those who lost their lives in the service of this country. We've since expanded it to be Decoration Day or as a general remembrance of all who have gone on before. But the concept of memorial is a biblical concept. Think about it. What is a memorial supposed to do? If we go into the park and there's a statue or an obelisk there or a plaque on the side of the road, what's it supposed to do? It's supposed to bring something to our remembrance, right? So a memorial is something to cause us to remember. And biblically speaking, the idea of a memorial is to remember something, is to recall and make mention of. Okay, let's stop and think about that for a minute. If we recall it, we bring it to our mind, and we might think about it a little bit. If we recall it and make mention of, we begin to then sow seeds of that remembrance. Someone who did not know what that was all about may learn from it. We hear it out of our mouth, into our own ears, and back into our own brain again. It kind of reprimes the pump a little bit. You know, it causes us to think back and to recall something. God knew from the beginning that we would need to be reminded. After all, He is the one who created us. He knows how our mind does work and how our mind is supposed to work. And He knows this about human beings. We get busy dealing with today, and yesterday fades from our minds. It might be there somewhere. It's like a file cabinet. Back in this back room, we got file cabinets from the days when New Hope sang their songs on overhead transparencies. Remember, we used to have an overhead projector, and they laid transparencies on them, and it projected up on the wall. Now, any given song that we sang 30 years ago is probably on one of those transparencies in that file cabinet back there. The trick is to remember that it's there, and then to go find it if you wanted to use it again. Okay? That's the way our memories are. That's the way the things that we've learned are. They might still be in the file cabinet of our mind somewhere, but there's a whole lot of junk piled in front of them. Ever clean out a closet or a garage or a storage shed or a basement or an attic, and you get all the way back to the back wall and said, I didn't remember I had that till just now, and I just saw it. That's the way our thoughts are, because today takes precedence over yesterday. The problems of today seem huge because they're in our eyes, they're in our mind. We're seeing what's going on today, and whatever happened yesterday, whether it was a victory or a defeat, has faded into the depths of memory. But sometimes it's important to remember. Some things are too important to forget. Because you know what? A lot of the things that we forget are those things which define our identities. The family history. Those who have gone before. What position did they have? What heritage did they leave to us that we have lost in the dust of the past? That happens with the church. It happens with us as individuals. It happens with any kind of a group, for example, a nation or a government as well. We forget those things which are behind, but those are the very things that define who we are. You know, God knew that we needed to be reminded, encouraged, challenged, and warned. See, memorials bring to mind lots of different kinds of memories. There might be a memorial there that's to a military victory. We won. Oh, that's great. We won. But then over here, there might be a memorial. I'll give you a real good example. In Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, there are two major memorials sitting just yards apart. One is the wreckage of the sunken USS Arizona, which exploded on December 7th, 1941, taking well over 1,000 sailors with it. Right there. It's there. You can walk out on a bridge and you can look down and you can see the Hulk under the waters of the harbor. Well, just a few yards away is the battleship USS Missouri, on whose deck the armistice with Japan was signed, the surrender of Japan was signed at the end of the war. You've got a memorial of a disaster and a memorial of a victory right next to each other. And each one has its story to tell. The Arizona tells a story of being unprepared, of being surprised, of the enemy coming in without warning and causing damage and destruction. But right beside it, the Missouri is a memorial to the sacrifices of many, to the fact that a country came together in complete unity for a common cause for a period of time, and that brought about a victory. Different rings, right? We need to remember December 7th so nobody slips in on us again like they did on September the 11th of 2001. We need to remember. We need to be aware. But we also need to remember that great things can happen when a nation comes together and everybody has a unity of purpose. What was it that God said before He scattered the people at Babel? If they keep working together, there's nothing they can't do. God said that. So what does He do? He confuses their language and scatters them. Both are important to remember, both kinds of memorials. We need to be encouraged that we can win. We need to be challenged to come together and do that which is right. We need to be warned that sometimes the enemy sneaks in when we're not aware. All those things are important. Lest we forget, we have memorials. So God inspired and commanded in biblical record making memorials from the earliest days. You know what one of the first memorials that the Bible speaks of is? It's the one that God placed in the sky. In the days of Noah, He set a memorial in the sky as a reminder of judgment on sin and a promise of hope. Hey, remember that I wiped everybody out except Noah and his family because they turned against me. But oh, by the way, I promised to never destroy the world with a flood again. It's a memorial of remember the reason it's there and look forward with hope going forward. So important to remember those. We go through the rest of the Old Testament story. Altars were built to remember what God did at this place. Wells were dug to remember God's provision at this place or that place. Pillars of stone were built. And that's a good one, because when He's doing that, He says, when your children ask what this pile of rocks is doing here, then you tell them what I did here. Which is another important reason for memorials. Acts of remembrance. I mentioned the Passover. Remember that I provided a substitute for you. We provided the lamb. The lamb was slain. The blood was shed. The blood was applied. Death bypassed your house, and I led you out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Remember. And in order for you to remember, you celebrate this every year. You remember what we did. Remember what I did for you in the birthing of Israel as a nation. Out of the womb of Egypt came the nation that would bring forth David and Solomon and Jesus. Those who already knew, those who remembered these events, those who had been taught these events, when you come to this memorial, you're caused to remember them. I already knew about it, but I kind of let it go to the back of my mind. Now I remember. But to recall and make mention of, now there's the little one with you who doesn't remember. Now's an opportunity to teach who you are, where we came from. You can trust God. It's important that we do this. Remember to teach always the next generation. Because, you see, if we go a generation and no one causes the remembrances to be passed on, effectively they die. And this is a place that we as a nation, that we as a church in general, not just this congregation, but churches all over the world, are in an identity crisis right now because we have chosen not to recall and make mention of. Or even worse yet, we have been forbidden to recall and make mention of because it might make me feel uncomfortable. That bothers me. It hurts my feelings. A whole generation got mad when they saw the Arizona. That was not a pleasant emotion. Some people were sad because they knew people that died on that ship. Others were angry because we'd been caught unawares. And somebody did a dastardly, cowardly deed. Negative emotions aren't always a bad thing. Negative emotions remind you, I'm never going to do that again. I tried that, it didn't come out good. Not going to do that again. We live in a society that's trying to purge anything that recalls the fact that for 200 years, close to it, from the colonization to the Civil War, that we endorsed an institution called slavery in this nation. People whose names have been on institutions for generations are having their name erased. Statues are being torn down because someone might have negative emotions but being reminded that at one time the United States approved the holding of people in servitude. But here's the flip side. Why not use those things as a teaching tool? Look, we made a mistake. We did something that was contrary to the very principles upon which this nation was founded, and we paid the price. I believe it was Lincoln himself that said something along the lines of, this war is going to continue until the price has been paid for all the slaves that have been held. We use it as a teaching tool because if we forget that this ever happened, if we erase it from the history books, if we erase it from the public square, then at some point in time, what's to prevent somebody from going down that road in the future? These Christians, they're just some kind of a weird offshoot group. I think we just ought to put them in bondage and make them work for us. If you don't have the history to say, that's a bad idea, somebody could embrace that in the future. Now, it sounds ridiculous, but there are a lot of things that have happened in the last 10, 15 years that we said can never happen in this country. Open your eyes and think a little bit. See, we've learned in the secular world to mimic the building of memorials. By the way, let me just throw a few at you right quick. Old Testament memorials. Exodus 3, God says, my name's a memorial. Exodus 12, in talking about the Passover, this day is a memorial. Exodus 13, the tefillin and the phylacteries around your hand and your feet, or your hand and your head as a Jewish man with Scripture in them, are memorials to God. The blue thread in the tzitzit, the fringe of the garment, is a memorial to God. Exodus 17, they are charged to write the story of the Passover and the Exodus as a memorial. On the priest's breastplate in Exodus 28, there are stones that recall each of the 12 tribes of Israel as a memorial. The Umim and Thummim that are on the shoulders of the priest's garment have the names of the sons of Israel engraved on them as a memorial. Remember, remember, remember. The tabernacle is a memorial. Leviticus and Numbers tell you scores of memorial offerings. When you do this sacrifice, you remember. The Day of Trumpets is a memorial. The sounding of the trumpets is supposed to remind you. In Joshua chapter 4, when finally the children of Israel crossed the river into the promised land. He builds a pillar of stones as a memorial. Some speculate, because of the geography and other reasons, that as John was baptizing in the Jordan River, and he said, out of these stones, God can raise up children of Israel, he was talking about those stones that Joshua stacked up, a memorial, recall and make mention of. Well, John, that's old Bible. Matthew 26, Mark 14. There's a story of a woman who comes and anoints Jesus. And he says, this will be a memorial to you. And here we sit 2,000 years later. Don't know the woman's name for sure, but we know what she did. She broke an expensive jar of ointment and anointed Jesus for his funeral before he died. Acts chapter 10, Luke tells us that our prayers are a memorial before God. Memorial is eternal. So we get reminded of the things that worked and encouraged to act in that way. We can remember the things that worked when we've gone to God and God has come through. And the stories from Grandma where they prayed and God came through. Stories from history where people prayed and God came through. Stories from the Bible of when people sought God and God came through. We've got a track record of a trustworthy God to remember when God came through. And therefore, those are positive things and we can be encouraged by them. But likewise, we are also reminded of disasters and failures. And we're reminded, don't let that happen again. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit and were carried out of the sanctuary feet first. Dead as a rock. Moral? Don't try to deceive the brethren. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. But we now live in a society that tears down memorials, religious memorials and secular. Why? It offends me. It makes me feel uncomfortable. It makes me feel bad. I don't want to remember that. I'm 65 years of age, and there are a lot of things in my life that I would prefer not to remember, but I'm a stronger and better man because I do remember them. Places I've fallen flat on my face and made bad decisions, I remember those. And it reminds me not to do it again. I remember failures in the society around me. I remember the dark black days of my family history. I remember those things which people with great potential wasted that potential on stupid decisions that seemed to feel good for the moment. I remember a lot of things like that. And it encourages me not to make the same stupid mistakes. Just as when you made the right choice, the right decision, and God came through and there was blessing on the other side of it. Remember those too. Another thing that we need to remember, and I made mention of this last week, the three Hebrew children were not alone in the fiery furnace. God did not extract them from the fiery furnace. He went in there and walked with them. And they came out not even smelling of smoke. The pagan king sentences Daniel to overnight in a den of hungry lions. And he comes back in the morning and says, Daniel, did your God save you? Yes, O king. He shut the lion's mouth. He didn't take Daniel out of the lion's den. He made the lions into pussycats. He was with them in the dark places. David was not alone running from Saul. And I don't mean the scoundrels that were along with him. I mean the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that not only kept him safe but helped him to make wise decisions. When his most trusted lieutenant is saying, Saul's in your hands, kill him. David says, no. God anointed him king. When it's time for him not to be king, God will take him out. Not me. Far be it from me to touch God's anointed. If you look in Psalms and you see the passion of the psalmist, David writes so many of those. He's saying, God, they're all out to get me. Kill them. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And I'm going to celebrate you regardless of what you do. We need to remember these kinds of things because, you know, we may not be, the king may not be trying to kill us as he was David. But circumstances might be trying real hard. And we need to remember that trusting God is more important than current circumstances. We need to remember that as we walk this life. We don't need to, you know, I'm sure there were a lot of things that, you reckon David ever wanted to forget the Bathsheba incident? But it is recorded not only for him, but for us, because there's a lesson in it. Do you suppose that Elijah wanted to tactfully forget that he ran from Jezebel? What'd God do? Get up, dust yourself off. What are you doing here? I got work for you to do, boy. Let's go. You got an appointment here and here and here. Go do. We all want to forget failures. We all want to forget dark days. We all want to forget pain. But all of those things contribute to make us who we are and make us stronger. And what we need to remember is not the failure so much as the fact that God got us through. You see, negative memorials can sometimes lead to positive ones. The Arizona led to the Missouri. What happens if we don't remember? First of all, what happens is what's happening to the church today and what's happening to our nation today is we lose our identity. Because you see, who we are is predicated on who we have been. Ronnie is a fugit. Okay? There's a whole passel of fugits before you. Probably some good people and probably a scoundrel or two. But you see, that's part of what makes you who you are. It's important that we recognize that. As a church, it's important to know where we have been as a church. If we forget the lessons, let's take just this congregation. I see a few here who have been here nearly from the beginning, not as many as there used to be. But if we forget the walk that we had as a congregation, the ditches that we fell into and the mountaintops that we've been on top of, we've lost who we are. And I would venture a guess that I've only been a part of this congregation for about 30 years. It's a little older than that. Connie remembers things that I don't remember. But you see, there are things, there are ditches that we fell into that we need to remember lest we fall into those ditches again. There are mountaintops we've been to, and we don't want to forget those because we aspire to be there again, or at least maybe on another mountaintop. There have been great victories, and there have been, I wish I hadn't done that. And that's true of our personal lives, that's true of us as a congregation, and that's true of the larger community in which we live and the nation in which we live. But you see, if we forget where we came from, if we erase unpleasantness in history, we lose our identity. And when that happens, we usually have to discover it again, and guess what? If there's mistakes and pains that we have forgotten, we might have to walk through them again in order to recover our identity, who we are, who we are called to be. So as we live in a nation and survive in a church in general, I'm not speaking of the congregation now, I'm speaking of Christianity in total. If we choose to forget our history, we don't know who we are. And the mistakes of the past will be repeated in the future, because if we don't remember the lessons, we may have to live them again. Personally, I'd rather grow on the experience of those who have gone before than to have to repeat the same pain and suffering again. Memorials, to recall and make mention of. You know, there's one thing that's unique about this Bible as a book. It tells us not just the victory stories. It presents people not as plastic icon saints, but as human beings with all the warts and all the scars and all the blemishes. because it is the sum total of who we are and where we have been that defines who we are today. And it is the aspiration of being more Christ-like that encourages us to go on till tomorrow. God forbid that we forget. As Christians, as a congregation, as a church, as a nation, God forbid that we forget. Sometimes it's hard to remember. Sometimes we're embarrassed by the past. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it makes us weep. Sometimes it makes us angry. But it's so important to make meaningful what has gone before by making today better, by making me better today. God can cause us to do that, but we can never forget where we came from. We can never forget the warts and the scars and the bruises. The bruises are worse sometimes because they just keep on hurting. That young man that we asked prayer for that lost part of his arm, he's having phantom pain. That means his body says the arm that's no longer attached to him hurts. A lot of us got phantom pain because that which has gone before, that which has gone under the blood of Christ, that which has been washed as far away as from yesterday and forever, that stuff that's gone still haunts us. It's not that we don't remember it, or that we shouldn't remember it, is that we shouldn't let it control us. What we need to remember is the victory without ever losing sight of the fact that it still looms there. But church, if you would, just take a moment and go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him what you need to remember and make mention of to encourage yourself, to teach the next generation. How's God come through for you? What did it feel like when you were in the battle? You see, there are a lot of battles that are ongoing. There are a lot of battles that we need the strength to get through. I mentioned from 1941 to 1945 earlier with the Arizona and the Missouri. In the midst of that was Guadalcanal and Iwo Jima, the sinking of the Indianapolis. There were dark days into early 1942 when we said there's no way to stop what's coming against us. But you see, there was. And it was the smallest thing. You know what turned the tide in the Pacific in World War II? Sure, there were a lot of aircraft carriers and airplanes built and what have you, but what turned the tide was a group of code breakers sitting in a dark basement room that figured out what the Japanese code was about. Then, the first time the Japanese suffered defeat was at Midway because some code breaker figured out the code. It's the littlest thing that's in the devil. The littlest thing. And it can be that way in your life. Take the little things to God. Trust Him in the little things. And that'll help you to trust Him in the big things. Father, we come before You this day and we ask You, Lord, to increase our relationship with You. Increase our trust in You. Let our faith be built upon the history of what has transpired in the past. Let us not forget either the victories or the defeats. The encouragement and the discouragement. Everything that's happened is part of who we are. Let us know who we are in Christ Jesus, but let us not forget who we are in the flesh. Because, you see, if we don't remember, the temptation is so easy to go back. Father, strengthen this body. Cause us to be encouraged. Cause us to have strength and energy. And Father, we pray that You would rebuild Your church in this place. We ask it all in Jesus' name.